How's it going? Welcome to JPR Live Sessions, where we get to better know artists we admire and hear one-of-a-kind in-studio performances. I'm Dave Jackson. JPR Live Sessions are made possible with support of the Talent Club. You can find their live music schedule at talentclublive.com. Returning today to JPR is singer-songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, and sometimes producer, Maya DeVitri. It's originally from Pennsylvania and now makes her home in Nashville. A former member of the trio Stray Birds, who have performed for JPR Live Sessions in the past. And since parting ways with them in 2019, she's released 4 studio albums. The latest is The Only Moment. It came out last year. You've likely heard it on Open Air. And Maya and her band are joining us on their West Coast tour. Welcome back to JPR.
Thank you for having us in.
Yeah, we're happy to have you here. So who's on tour with you? Who's in the band here?
On electric guitar, that's Joel Timmons. And he's singing a lot of harmonies too. And then singing and playing the electric bass, the fretless, that is Ethan Yojevitz.
Well, welcome you guys as well to the studio. How did you guys all come together?
Well, we all met in Nashville. That was kind of the intersection of our lives. And we've since, you know, gone in a few directions. Joel moved back to South Carolina, where he was born and raised. So, but we've continued to play music together. And Ethan and I still live in Nashville. And this is, we're a trio today, but nah. I like to play in lots of different formations, kind of.
Right.
Like on rare occasions these days, full band with drums. So we'll do that when we get back to Nashville, yeah. And play a show like that. But often on the road, it's a trio like this, or sometimes I'm out duo or just solo.
Cool. Well, take us back. You come from a musical family. How did you get introduced to music? What was your start with this?
My dad plays fiddle and guitar, and he loves songs. That's it. That was a huge part of my childhood, was just like hearing songs, not from like from recordings as well, but just hearing songs like come up out of my dad and an acoustic guitar sitting around the table or sitting on the porch and just playing songs constantly. And my mom also likes to sing and loves music. And so when I had, the opportunity to pick an instrument to learn in the school string orchestra program, I wanted to play the violin so I could play fiddle. And my dad taught me my first fiddle tunes. And so I got to grow up kind of like in the classical music track with public school and the orchestra, but also going to music festivals and hearing old time and bluegrass tunes and songs played by my parents and their friends at jams at our house. So it was always just kind of around and felt really accessible. And we stored a lot of, I just have this very strong image of all the guitar cases and banjo cases and fiddle case, everything like stacked up on top of the dog crate in the corner of the living room. So and then a piano on the other wall. Just instruments were very accessible to me growing up.
And you have a brother and a sister who both record and perform as well. So.
Yeah. There's 4 of us. And so my sister Nina is currently touring, and she is a multi-instrumentalist. My brother Lyle is a songwriter and has a solo record out. Actually, that Ethan, who's playing bass today, was really involved with as a producer on that record. And then my sister Monica also is a musician, but just in a different capacity as far as how publicly she does it. She's just an art teacher up in Western Mass, but very musical as well.
Great. Well, Maya DeVitri is my guest today in a JPR Live session. Why don't you play us a tune? What do you want to start with?
We'll start with the first one on that record, The Only Moment. This is called Nothing Else Matters.
We were one long night. We were one sweet morning. We were all time. I don't need to live forever. else matters.
Dimitri in a JPR live session with a tune called Nothing Else Matters. You co-wrote that with Phoebe Hunt, is that correct?
Correct.
We actually have three studio versions of that in front of with Phoebe Hunt and with Lindsay Liu.
Yeah.
So you've done quite a bit of co-writing over the last few years. Tell us about co-writing and how that fits into your scheme of what you do with music.
Yeah, co-writing is really common in Nashville. It's a really common part of how a lot of songs are written, especially in the country music scene there. They'll just kind of like pair up two, three, four writers, and it's a common way to, I don't know, kind of mush your ideas in together. And it's, for me, I'm always co-writing with my friends. So that's kind of different than the sort of Nashville country music machine way of doing it. Like for me, it's just like, hey, Phoebe, let's hang out and make candles and write a song or something. So it usually begins as like catching up and talking about what's going on in our lives. And then you often find some kind of common thread of something you've both been thinking about or some kind of wavelength that you can both hop on. And it's pretty fun because you can get out of your own way. Like your co-writing partner can often like sort of help you get out of your own way or out of your own ruts in your writing or some patterns you might have, or like you might think, oh, I would do this with the melody, but maybe they do something else with the melody and that inspires you to respond in a different way. And so it can really like free you up. I didn't get into it until I was writing songs for a little while though. Mm. And I think probably because there's like a preciousness that you feel when you're first writing, at least for me there was, that I really wanted to be like completing the songs on my own and kind of like feel like I could see the light at the end of the tunnel and like understand how to finish a song.
Right.
And now that I've done that enough, I feel like very open to co-writing and very open to like, is the song, you know, maybe the song, maybe a song is a better fit for somebody else's record, and I don't even necessarily feel like a connection to it to put it on my own record, but maybe it's perfect on some other record. And so it's just another way of being creative with songs. And it's a very fun, just very, very fun and fulfilling. Yeah.
There's a couple others we have in our library that there are like three versions of the one you wrote with Caitlin Candy, The Odds of Getting Even, and Della May and Caitlin Candy. You've both done versions of that mm-hmm. song as well as you. So that's and then you've worked with Oliver Wood, who's been here a whole bunch of times as well. So it must be fun. Nashville just seems like a fun place to hang out and be with musicians.
It is very fun. I mean, I sometimes lose perspective on just how special that scene is. And then there's other times where it's just so clear to me and I kind of get chills because uh-huh. I'm just like this, like it's absolutely surreal. I mean, the day I went and was co-writing with Oliver Wood, like, I mean, I have looked up to the Wood Brothers for so long, and my sister Monica like put she copied the stamp of the at the bar to like Sharpie my hand so that it looked like I could get in to a sold out show, you know, we cheated our way into a sold out Wood Brothers show, and like, yeah, I was seeing them when Chris and Oliver were just still playing as a duo, and Oliver would sit on the stool to play, like it was such a different show, and I've just been a fan for a long time. So yeah, there's those like very surreal moments with that too. But when you're sitting at a table with somebody co-writing, you're making something new together, and that's so just like, yeah, it's totally thrilling.
Yeah. And you're pretty busy. You've had four albums since 2019, and I was going through some just doing some research here, and you released them pretty much one after the other, but you were like working on one and working on another and touring and working on an EP. How do you keep all that separate or keep track of all that?
Google Calendar and Gmail. Just Google.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was just impressed with just sort of the output of that. It's like you were working on an album and like you spent a weekend and put out an EP and did some things like that. It's just,
yeah. Yeah. I think I've had a really like energetic kind of digging deep season here the last 7 years or so. You know, I think it's just been intoxicating for me to be on my own and be solo, you know, after the chapter with the Stray Birds.
Right.
I think all these songs, it's not like I had a whole bunch of them like saved up. It's just that they just kind of, each album that I would write would kind of unlock something else. And I was just chasing the songs down and wanted to keep recording them. And I couldn't really keep up with, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm always kind of trying to show up for the songs, but not get, I'm also really trying to not get burned out because I like what I do. But yeah, it's just been a, at times pretty breathless, kind of crazy feeling chapter these last 7 years or so. But it's also felt just like I'm finding a way to make space for some songs that just really want to exist. And so I'll try to make it happen.
And I read you're also your own tour manager, and you do all the business and the bookings and that kind of thing too.
I do have a booking agent now.
Okay.
That's really, really helpful. So, yeah, I have a booking agent, and for this tour, I added a tour publicist.
Yeah.
So that's who helped me to connect this session today. You know, she has the time and the email address, you know, to reach out and make these kinds of things possible. So it's very, very DIY though, because I'm the center point of contact for everyone. And yeah, I'm booking the flights and figuring out the rental car situation and just managing all those moving parts. So It's a lot, you know, yeah. But
you seem pretty driven, so I don't imagine you'd be able to not do that.
Yeah. And I want to make sure that we get there, you know, relatively on time. And I had a lot of practice doing it before. A lot of it's just kind of, it's not difficult. It's not like I'm learning on the job as much as kind of just knowing a little more smoothly how to do some of the things I was already doing in the Stray Birds for so many years. So I'm doing all that. And I release all the records independently. So I have like my own record label, which basically means I have my own scale for postage. I just weigh the CDs and put them in the mail and sometimes just walk down to the post office and hand deliver them to the counter. So it's pretty cool. I like it. I care very much about the scale that I'm working at. You know, like I don't have the shiniest of dreams. I just want a scale that feels very humane and fulfilling.
Well, let's hear another song. What do you want to play?
This is called Some Rent. It's also from that record, The Only Moment. And it just kind of comes from like thinking about having a conversation with a past version of yourself.
Something else, I don't know.
That's Maya DeVitri with Some Rent in a JPR live session. I'm Dave Jackson. You're listening to the Rhythm and News Service of JPR. Where can folks find you on the internet?
www.mayadevitri.com.
And you're on the socials?
Yes, I'm on Instagram and I'm on Facebook.
All right. You can find tour information and photos and all kinds of links and things on all of those platforms. So you started playing solo after you were in the Straybirds. That's about a decade in the Straybirds, somewhere like that.
Yeah, roughly. Probably like emotionally and spiritually about a decade. But but physically touring and recording and all that, 7 or 8 years.
Uh-huh. And so and you sort of immediately took off on a solo career. How was the change with that for you?
It was kind of like showing up in body before really showing up in spirit a little bit. Like I kind of had to grow into the idea of being a band leader and grow into the idea of putting my name on a t-shirt. And that was hard. It was the writing the songs and being in the studio and all that was like super freeing and wonderful. But actually like sort of like living into that new reality was challenging. I think because I felt, you know, like that was such an identity for me, like being a part of that band. And it was a difficult transition, and sometimes you just kind of have to power through. And like, you know, it's like being in a new relationship and some people remember you from the old relationship more. And then as time goes by, you know, there's still like, I really appreciate all the people who listen to my music, who know me from that era. And then sometimes there's people who, you know, I've never heard of that band, and that's refreshing too, because maybe they just found the music recently. And so I try to be respectful of all those fans, and but I do tend to play more of the solo, you know, music that I've put out, and just include something now and then from the Straybirds music, just because I feel so much more connected to the music that I'm releasing in this new chapter.
Sure. Makes total sense. Have you given a lot of thought to what you might be doing if you weren't playing music?
When I was a kid, I kind of wanted to be a large animal veterinarian, or just like a homemaker. Because I grew up in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, where there's just like Amish and Mennonite farms everywhere. And I was like, cool, I'm going to like either have 10 kids and like make jams, or maybe I could be a vet and work on horses.
Wow.
And then I kind of wanted to be like a journalist, like a writer of some like National Geographic, you know, like get an assignment to go like, you know, study monarch butterflies or something and interview people, which I feel like songwriting is somehow lets me do a little bit of that.
I was going to say, it was as you were saying that, that seems to dovetail nicely.
Yeah.
Something like songwriting.
Yeah.
Creative means of doing things, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, let's hear another song. What do you guys want to play?
Yeah. I'll do one more from that newest record. This one is, I'm Not Going Anywhere.
Feel free with you. I don't
Guy Dvitri is my guest today in a JPR Live session. That was I'm Not Going Anywhere. It's from her most recent release, The Only Moment. You can find more about Maya Dvitri at mayadvitri.com and Facebook and Instagram. So recently, you said you've been branching into some producing. Is mm-hmm. that right? Who have you been working with or anything we can look forward to in the coming future? Or?
Definitely. So the first record was actually for Joel Timmons, who is here with me on guitar today. And so we made Joel's debut solo record. It's called Psychedelic Surf Country. And I bet he might even leave a copy with you here at the station. He's got some along.
The title is intriguing to me.
And there's a couple singles out so far by an artist called Shelby Means. Mm. And Shelby has been playing bass and singing harmonies with Molly Tuttle and Golden Highway for the last couple of years.
Oh, that's where I knew that name from.
Yeah. So Shelby has, we worked in the studio on some bluegrass music for Shelby. And yeah, she's got a couple awesome singles out now. And I'm pretty sure she's planning on releasing more.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's another artist named Hannah DeLynn is going to be releasing a record in the next couple months. And she was a part of the Infinite EP that was one of those quick one-day recording session things I did. And so she sang some harmonies on that, and this will be her first solo record. And yeah, I've got some more in the works as well. So it's been very rewarding.
So how does that, again, you know, you've gone through your band member and then your band leader and now you're a producer. How does that fit into just your scheme of doing things?
It fits very beautifully.
Yeah. What are you learning, I guess, from that about you, about music, about?
Oh, yeah. Like so much, you know. I think, again, with, you know, with the co-writing thing, like where there was like that preciousness that I had to let go of in order to be a really present co-writer. I think that is true for me with the producing too, like to be really present with somebody and hear their songs and imagine their songs and like just trying to like help each artist like make a record that sounds the most like them possible. And sometimes that means me being like kind of as far out of the way as possible, and sometimes that means I'm a little closer and sort of involved and singing harmonies and things like that, but just sort of like helping them gauge that. Sometimes it's just kind of being like sort of using some of the things I've learned about vocal performance and nerves and kind of getting to a space that feels really calm in the studio, and like how to get to a place where you feel like reverence for what you're doing, and but you can also kind of let it go and not be too scared to like sing a really good vocal take, you know. So just trying to be a coach kind of in some ways, like on the sidelines, but like I'm ultimately not the one like winning the game or like taking the trophy home. It's like, it's their thing. And so I think that is something else that's come with like being in this for a while, is I can kind of walk beside somebody, but like not, you know, ultimately like try to get too much in the ownership of it or something. Like I really want those projects to sound like that person, and that it's something they can sort of take and go and do their thing with. And but it's just really, for me, it's amazing to be able to hear songs and be able to get inside somebody else's songs. And it's really refreshing because I don't want to only be thinking about my songs year round. I like to sing harmonies and like to be a part of something. You know, we've been doing some Joel Timmons shows occasionally now, and to just get on the plane with a fiddle and know that I'm just going to go play fiddle parts and sing harmonies on a show, that's pretty fun. And so So to get to switch roles like that feels really satisfying.
So how long have you guys been on this tour? Where has it taken you?
This tour is sort of like the warm-up for the spring. It's just four shows, and we were up in Port Townsend, Washington, and Seattle, and then Portland, Oregon, and now we're here in Ashland. And it's been great just kind of trying to dig into this corner of the country. I love coming out this way. And Ethan Yojevitz, who's here on the bass today, he grew up in Olympia, Washington. So it's always nice to have the family connection there and visit his mom and the dog and take walks. And just it's one of the parts of the country that feels a little more accessible because of some of those ties. So we've been enjoying that. And a lot of the rest of the touring I'm doing this spring is east of the Mississippi. So, you know, Massachusetts, kind of all the way down to South Carolina, over to Ohio, stuff like that, everywhere in between.
And given your output of music, I'm guessing you're probably working on some new Maya DeVitri music as well, or?
Yeah, just always working on it. I've been able to write in some downtime from touring this winter. And I'm also going on a writing retreat soon. I've never done that. I've always kind of been writing like in the cracks of everything. But I'm going to this really special place called Blue Rock in Hill Country in Texas. And it's a retreat where, you know, you send an application in and they pick a couple writers to hang out together for a couple days. And it's not really a co-writing thing. Like I'll get to be writing on my own, but just to have that time set aside, like that there's a week in April on my calendar where I know that it's like the first time I've ever had like a week on my calendar scheduled to just go like write songs. So that feels really good. And honestly, it's been nice to work on other people's records because it gives me a chance to slow down with my writing a little bit more and kind of have to really find time to like sit down with the guitar and be intentional about writing. So having that space set aside feels really exciting right now.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today. And
thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're going to air this after you perform at the Talent Club, but good luck on your show tonight.
Thanks.
And we look forward to hearing whatever's coming next.
Sounds great. Thanks for having us, Dave.
Yeah, thanks for all you guys for coming in. JPR Live Sessions are engineered by John Griffin of Luna's Inn Studios. You can later on find this JPR Live session, as well as our others, at our website, ijpr.org, and as podcasts at Spotify and YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. JPR Live Sessions are made possible with support from the Talent Club in downtown Talent, Oregon, featuring cold beverages and live music in a casual atmosphere. You can find their live music schedule at talentclublive.com. I'm Dave Jackson. Thanks for listening to JPR Live Sessions.